first six verses of Ephesians chapter 4.
Here's the word of the Lord. Can you hear me? Okay. Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humbled and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope. When you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
Thank you so much. So thank you, Gideon, for reading the word with us. And the section you have just read is one of three parts of Ephesians chapter 4 that we will be reading today. And I'll give you the other two as we go through this message. And if you have been around the last couple of weeks, you know, everybody has been, you know, arriving in groups and coming back from holiday in groups. So I'll just give you a quick recap. But if you have been following us in the services and on the podcast, you'll know that we are halfway into the series on the book of Ephesians. We do one chapter every Sunday. And we use this series to give you an introduction of what we believe church and following Jesus is all about. And Koen said it nicely in the first part of the series, the part of on Ephesians 1. We as a church are very transparent with you about what our agenda is, what our agenda for the church is. It is for us to become two things: holy followers of Jesus and passionate ambassadors of his kingdom. And as we proceed through the book of Ephesians, you will notice that Paul, like in most of his letters, progresses from one to the other all-important question. It's like how he structures most of his books, moving from the question of so what to the question of now what. From the question of what does all of this mean, like Koen said last week, let that sink in. So it's grasping what the gospel means, what the implications of grace are. And then in the second half of the book is the question, now what? So now that this is sinking in, what are we supposed to do with it? So two questions that Paul always comes back to, easy to remember if you do Bible studies: so what and now what? And this first question is what we have spent the last three Sundays looking into. What is this good news of Jesus and the kingdom really all about? What are these implications of grace, as we're calling it in this series? And I hope over the last 3 weeks you have captured some of the essence of it. It's that as followers of Jesus, we were made a chosen people for a purpose, and we were given an inheritance in our Father's business, the business of seeing the whole world renewed and saved. It is that Christ did not only break the deathlock that sin had on us individually, but he also made us part of a new people, the extended Israel, in which we are reconciled to himself and to each other. And it's also that this new identity in him is not something that we discover, it's not something that we perform, it is something that we receive, and that love and prayer and power will grow as the thing that is objectively true for all of Jesus' followers also becomes experientially true for us, individually and collectively as a church. So those are some of the implications of grace that Koen preached to in the last 3 weeks that we may discover in this new season. Some of the answers to the question, so what? What does all of this mean? And then, as of chapter 4 that we'll be discovering today, Paul pivots to the other important question, the question of now what. if all of these things are true, how do we live in the light of it? And in the verse, in the very first verse that Gideon just read, Paul says, "Therefore I urge you." In other words, with all that came before in the back of our mind, what should we do now? And today I want to give you three aspects of this now what from Ephesians chapter 4, moving from the universal to the particular, that we as a local church community here in Groningen and as one of as part of the Vineyard family worldwide seek to embody. Three values that we feel called to put into practice, and I've made them easy to remember. The three words are all, together, and each. All, together, and each as the three values of church. So let me start with the first one. The first value that we seek into to put into practice as a church is related to the unity and the universality of the church. So please notice in the verses that were just read how Paul emphasizes this in these first verses of Ephesians 4. It says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is only one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You hear the repetitions? One, 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 one. All. Because if there is one thing that is true about the church that Jesus builds, it is its unity and universality. It's unity, one, it's universality, all. The church is one because our one Father is over all and through all and in all. And this rootedness of the unity of the church in the fatherhood of the Father is an essential truth for us to grasp. One element of the previous chapter, Ephesians 3, that we didn't get around to highlight last week is how this fundamental unity between Jews and Gentiles is rooted in God's fatherhood. And that is what Paul calls in 3 verse 4, the mystery of Christ. Verse 6 from chapter 3, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Jesus. And then Paul has a whole passage where he talks about, you know, how he is being persecuted for preaching this mystery. And then he says in verse 14, therefore I kneel before the Father, from whom every family on earth derives its name. Ephesians 3, 14, 15. And in the Greek, there is a play on words that Paul makes with the word patria, which means nation, it means family, but it also means fatherhood. And that's the play on words that Paul makes when he uses the word family, patria. And so basically his point is, why are the nations fundamentally one in Jesus, which is, you know, so beautifully expressed in having an international church? Why are the nations fundamentally one? Because all fatherhood derives from the Father. All of the church worldwide is our family. Not because that's a nice thing to say, not because it's a nice metaphor, but because all fatherhood actually comes from the Father. And that's the thought that Paul takes forward in chapter 4 when he urges us to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And I like how Paul uses the verb to keep, because unity isn't something that we create. It is there in principle. It is a given. We do not make it. We can break it. And that is why Paul says, you know, we are to make it a practice to keep this unity of the Spirit. And I think one of the contributions of John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard, to the evangelical world, when he founded the Vineyard movement in the early 1980s, one of his main contributions was his insistence that as Vineyard churches, we are to love the whole church. I think it's fair to say that, you know, the history of evangelical charismatic brand of church has long been tainted by, you know, church splits and differences over personality and sometimes bitter conflicts over materially minor theological differences. But John Wimber, as the founder of the Vineyard, taught the movement that he founded a genuine appreciation for the church as a whole. We, as Vineyard Groningen, love the whole church. We also like the part that we are. But both of these things come together. So what you will see as you step into Vineyard Groningen is that we actively seek to partner with other churches, with other ministries in the city, and with our church family across the Benelux. We bless other churches, we work together. We support other ministries like student ministries and outreach together. And we don't just do so because it's practical or convenient. We do so because all fatherhood derives from the Father. We do so because we value the all. You've come to a church that likes the kind of church that it is, but loves the whole church. Now, secondly, while we love and affirm the whole church, we are also called to be our own local embodiment of it. So whenever Paul uses the metaphor of the body of Christ, like he does in Ephesians chapter 4, it is never about the abstraction of the universal church. The body metaphor with Paul is always functional language. It's about how we function in practice together. That's the second value, the together. It's about how we actually work together, how we connect with each other and build each other up, and how does a concrete, physical, visible expression of Christ show up in a certain location at a certain time. That is the value of together. And George was praying it very beautifully in the prayer service before the service, that this place would be like an altar, like a place that people can go to, and where the angels of God go up and down, because the presence of God is built among the church as it gathers together. That's the value of together. And in this second part of Ephesians 4, Paul talks about the five equipping ministries that jointly build up the church. And I'll go into them briefly in a minute. And then Paul writes this, Ephesians 4 from verse 14. It says, "Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." And I mentioned this in another message before the summer recently. One interesting thing from this passage is that the body isn't held together by its parts. It is held together by its ligaments. In other words, the church is not built by our individual contributions, but by how they connect to each other. That is how the body matures as each part does its work and connects with each other. That's functional language. It's not about the church universal. It's about the local, physical, visible, tangible embodiment of church, the local church that we are called to build. It's about the particular community that we build and to the degree, and it's about the degree to which it expresses the measure of the fullness of Christ in a mature way. So that's the second value that you will hopefully see this church living out. We love and affirm the whole church, and we dedicate ourselves to the full, mature embodiment of Christ in the particular church that we have been given to serve. And in Paul's thinking, to be a full, mature church means to be an equipping church. And that is why we receive and we practice the gifts that Jesus has given us. And in the context of Ephesians 4, these gifts are people. So in 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, the gifts are things that the individual receives from God. In Ephesians 4, the gifts to the church are people given to the church. And these five equipping ministries, Australian missiologist Alan Hirsch calls them APEST, for apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. And he has this beautiful book that is called The Exile of the Apes. And basically what The Exile of the Apes is about is that many of the Western church is only built around the S for shepherds and the T of teachers. So we have the ST, but we don't have the ape. So that's what he calls the exile of the apes. And in the vineyard and in our local expression of it, we welcome each of these equipping gifts as we need all of them working together to become this full, mature embodiment of Christ. So what does it mean? It means we need the apostolic function. Venturing out into new places, planting new ministries, and guarding and passing on the DNA that we have received. We need the prophetic function. Discerning what's on God's agenda for the here and now, and calling the church to integrity. That's why in the prophetic, there's the downward arrows and there's the sideways arrows. We discern what's on God's agenda, and we call each other to integrity. We need the evangelistic function. Going out into the city, making friends, and leading them to encounter Jesus. We need the pastoral function. Helping us belong. Helping us connect. Helping us heal. And we need the teaching function. Helping us grasp what the good news really means and helping us integrate it into our lives. And so, together, we are given to each other to help us grow. And therefore, we receive each other's gifts and we receive each other as gifts. So what you will see as you step into this church is that we seek and welcome the gifts of the Spirit and their full expression, each with its own flavor and function. It's not the Word or the Spirit. It is the Word and the Spirit. It is not the individual care or the large inspiring worship services. It's both. It is not the Christian community or those who don't know Jesus yet. It is both. And what you will not see us doing is to confuse these functions with titles. So when somebody early in John Wimber's church insisted on calling him Pastor John, any of you familiar with the practice? We call Pastor this or Bishop that or what? John Wimber's response was, I don't call you Housewife Sue, do I? Right? So, and I think there's a deep theological truth behind that. So in this church, we welcome the full range of Jesus' equipping gifts so that the local embodiment of who he is will come to maturity, and we call each other by name. That is the value of together. Now, lastly, third value, in this fourth chapter of Ephesians, Paul moves from the universal church via the local embodiment of church to the individual. The body, with all of its elements working together, builds itself up in love And then it says from verse 17 and verse 25, it says, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you," and that's directed at the individual, "must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking." And then he goes on to give some things to live by that are also addressed, as he says it in verse 25, to each of us. So that's the third value, all together, each. So we start from the affirmation of the oneness of the church flowing from the one Father of all fatherhood. Then comes the local embodiment of this visible and tangible expression of the fullness of Christ. And then comes the personal appeal. Do not live as the rest of the world does in the futility of their thinking. The collective embodiment that we are contributing to needs to make us think about our individual contribution. What do we build into our lives? And what is the kind of people that we are becoming? That is the value of each. So in other words, our being members of the Father's family and contributing to its local expression is supposed to lead to lifestyle choices. Verse 22, "You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Now, I don't know what kind of bell the word holiness rings with you, but a lot of people think that holiness is basically the habit of not doing something. And what that thing means shifts over time. I think pornography is a constant, but dancing and cinema change over time. But holiness is the habit of not doing something in a lot of people's minds. And so it is often framed as avoidance, things to avoid. But let's do a short experiment. Can I ask you for the next 10 seconds, next slide, to not think of a pink elephant? Please take 20 seconds, all of you, and do not think of a pink elephant. How many of you are not thinking of a pink elephant? Not a lot, eh? So when we avoid something, the thing we are trying to avoid actually becomes front and center even more. And so we come into this vicious cycle of being drawn into it more and then trying to fight it more. When we avoid something, we create a void. That's one you can remember, right? When you avoid something, you create a void. And Jesus says in Matthew 12, 44, that the person who cleans his life from demons but leaves it empty will be worse off in the end, because they return and they bring their friends. So that is why Paul in Ephesians 4 doesn't just talk about putting off the old self. He talks about putting on the new. Verses 25, 28, 29 says, "Put off all falsehood and speak truthfully. Put off all falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs." Holiness, in other words, when we pursue being holy followers of Jesus, passionate ambassadors of his kingdom, holiness is not avoidance that creates a void. Holiness is what you do instead, becoming speakers of truth, becoming givers, becoming encouragers, becoming hospitable people. So it's interesting that Paul puts this in opposition to futility that he says at the beginning of the passage, meaninglessness. So the challenge to each of us is to live lives that mean something, that contribute something, that give, that encourage. And that's what holiness, being set apart for Jesus as part of the local embodiment of his fullness, means. It's not avoidance that creates a void, it's what we do instead, because we just don't have time for that stuff. In other words, and I'll change the experiment a little bit, do not think of a pink elephant, but think of the mighty lion instead. Think of our king instead. Think of who Jesus is instead. Put front and center the things that go with following Jesus instead. That is also what the church helps us build into our lives individually. So what are you thinking about now? The lion, yeah. Thinking about the lion. Being holy followers of Jesus, being passionate ambassadors of his kingdom, they go together. Holiness is about what we do instead. That's our personal formation, the value of each. And as we go through this new season, this is what you will see happening in the church, all together, each. And many of you who connect with our church for the first time, I wanted to highlight these three because this is what we as a church pursue. And that's what we invite you to step into with us. We value the all. We love and affirm the whole church, and we try to put that into practice in our city. We value the together, the diversity of the full scope of the equipping gifts, because as they work together, they shape us into a mature collective, which creates a visible, tangible embodiment of Christ for people to encounter. And we value the each. Discipleship as growth into a life where we just don't have time for that stuff that belong to our old futile ways, because we are too busy doing something more Christ-like and more fulfilling instead. So as we invite the worship team back up, I want to give you two challenges. One is the worship team is going to do the song that was always my wife's favorite song when she was a worship leader. So very glad that Jonan picked it. We celebrate what we are as a church and what Jesus is doing through us. So if you feel called to step into celebrating this all and this together, please join with Jonan and the team and let's worship. If the each part of the message speaks more to you, like you feel that for this new season you have an individual commitment to Jesus to make, please go to the side. We'll have the prayer team pray over you. We have the prayer team pray the fire of Jesus over you, so you're also equipped individually to, become what the Lord is calling to you for the new season. Thank you.